national news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Some of Africa's top distance runners will compete in Sunday's New York City Marathon. The men's and women's elite fields include several Africans who have achieved Olympic glory. The men's field features three-time Olympic champion Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia, who is making his New York City Marathon debut. Somalia-born Abdi Nagay of the Netherlands, who won a silver medal in Japan this year in the Olympic men's marathon, will also be running in New York. And the women's field is led by 28-year-old Paris Jepchirchir of Kenya. She will try to become the first Olympic champion to win the New York City Marathon. At a news conference in New York's Central Park, Jepchirchir said, and I quote, "The course record itself says the course is tough." Another Kenyan, Margaret Okayo, set the women's course record in New York in 2003 when she clocked 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 31 seconds. Should Jepchirchir win the race and break Okayo's record, she would earn a $50,000 bonus on top of the $100,000 first place prize. After a virtual run in 2020 because of the pandemic, more than 30,000 runners are expected to line up in New York Sunday for the 50th anniversary of the big race. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The TCS New York City Marathon is back and just in time for its 50th anniversary. Last year, after the COVID pandemic forced the annual race to be held virtually, organizers were hard at work to ensure the iconic event would make its return in 2021. Ted Metellus is vice president of events and the first black race director of any major marathon. He says the marathon's return points to the same resiliency the city of New York displayed following the terrorist attacks in 2001.
Coming out of such a pause in life, again, very similar to what we experienced in 01 after 9/11. The marathon coming back after that event was the shot in the arm that the city needed, that sense of life and energy that the city needed, the connection and togetherness that the city needed. The other thing, too, is we're celebrating the 50th.
On Wednesday, race officials and city leaders gathered together in Central Park for the ceremonial painting of the finish line, a line that will trace the entire 26.2-mile course through five boroughs in New York. And Ted Metellus says this year, additional running time will be added as a safety precaution for the athletes.
We've added an hour and a half to our event, 30 minutes earlier, hour later. Our field size is about 40% less, so it will ultimately create some space amongst the athletes. All athletes are going to require one of two things, proof of vaccination or proof of negative test 48 hours before the race day, so not the 72. Every single participant will be screened and checked before running on race day.
The New York City Marathon began in 1970 as a local road race through Central Park and has since grown into one of the world's largest running competitions. The marathon will begin on Staten Island at the base of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. 33,000 athletes are expected to line up there, including Eritrea-born 2009 New York City Marathon champion and Olympic silver medalist for Team USA, Meb Keflezighi, who says the upcoming event signifies a new beginning.
You know, I always say the end of one race is the beginning of another. And this is a new beginning, you know, the iconic New York City Marathon. And people want to come visit New York, but to have the run is incredible. And I just feel delighted to be here, part of this celebration. You know, the 26.2 miles is a celebration of life. This is the 50th run of the TCS New York City Marathon, and to be a part of this opening ceremony of painting the blue line is a great, incredible honor. Marathon is a metaphor for life, and this is the resilience where people are coming back, and New York always is resilient, and it shows, and the people here coming now, and the weather is great, and you know, this, you know, because of COVID, but now people are coming, that energy is coming out as a spectator, as an athlete, as a community, as a sponsors. It's wonderful.
New York City Police Commissioner Dermot Shea is also looking forward to race day and hopes all virtual competitions are now a thing of the past.
We remember what happened last year. It's so fitting that we're here in this park where so many people came out for the first time just to get a little peace. And then I would take away when they said last year's race virtual. Can we put to bed virtual anything in 2022? And I think we would all be happy.
The runners will take their mark for the 50th anniversary of the New York City Marathon this Sunday, November 7th. And that's all for me for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And I hope you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In 2005, I was thrilled to meet this Kenyan star just a few days after he won the New York City Marathon.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
3 months ago, Eliud Kipchoge and Paris Jepchirchir swept the men's and women's Olympic marathon gold medals for Kenya in Sapporo, Japan. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, we look back on their victories and some other Olympic highlights. Let the games end! The complicated and pandemic-delayed Tokyo Games officially ended in Japan. The United States topped the final Olympics medal table with 113 medals, 39 gold, 41 silver, and 33 bronze. China was next with 88 medals, 38 gold, 32 silver, and 18 bronze. Host Japan was third on the table with 27 gold, 14 silver, 17 bronze, and 58 medals. Kenya was the top performing African team in Japan with 10 medals, 4 gold, 4 silver, and 2 bronze. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Paris Jepchirchir, who on the final weekend of Olympic action won the gold medals in the men's and women's marathons. The energetic Andy Edwards described Kipchoge as the monarch of the marathon, and the king certainly reigned in Sapporo, Japan. The world record holder Kipchoge successfully defended his Olympic marathon title with a dominating performance, as we hear now from Samson Omale.
On the final day of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge underlined his credentials as the undisputed king of the marathon with a totally dominant run to retain his Olympic title on the streets of Sapporo. Kipchoge, only the third person to win successive Olympic marathons, finished in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 38 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge says he has fulfilled his legacy.
I respect the values of preparation and planning that what was in my bucket list was Tokyo 2020. So I'm going back now, talk with my coach, see what are the opportunities in the world, and I will actually come back to you people. But for now, I want to enjoy winning here in Tokyo.
Another African Olympic highlight was Botswana winning a bronze medal in the men's 4x400 meters relay. Team USA won the gold medal in 2 minutes and 55.70 seconds. The Netherlands won the silver medal in 2 minutes and 57.18 seconds. On their way to winning the bronze medal, the Botswanan men twice broke the African record and in the final lowered it to 2 minutes and 57.27 seconds. The African record was previously held by Nigeria's gold medal winning team at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. For reaction to Botswana's achievement, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a member of that Nigerian 4x400 meters relay team at the Sydney Games, Anefiok Udo Obong.
Yes, excitingly, the Botswana 4x400 team set a new African record at the Tokyo Olympics. They actually were an incredible team. They set the record twice. They set the record in the semifinals and broke it again in the finals. That's an incredible run for them to win the bronze medal in the finals. It was our record. We are proud of it. We ran 2 minutes 58.68 seconds to win the gold in Sydney. Obviously, silver that was awarded gold after the infraction of the American team. So it's exciting that taking about 21 years to break. The 4x400 record is one that stays a long time. We, as a team in Sydney, broke the 1984 team, the 4x400 African record that won a bronze for the Sente Boneke-led team for Nigeria. So that was a record too then. We broke the record winning silver, which turned to gold. And the Botswana team have broken a record again to win another bronze medal for Africa. So generally, when we run it, we always run the record at the Olympics, and it gives us a medal. So it's an exciting thing. The Botswana team, long overdue. They're a very strong team. They were a very strong team. They really, really... I had expected the record to go 2 or 3 years ago when they had a sub-44 runners. But at this time, it was an incredible race. And probably they should have probably deserved a medal, a higher medal than they got.
It took 21 years to erase the record set by your set at the Sydney Olympic Games. What may have caused the delay?
21 years to break our record. Yes, that's true. Like I said earlier on, that's an incredible record. It's a world-class standard by all indications. The 400 meters is a very unique event, and that people running a very fast time. It's always very difficult to get four people running those quality times in the same country at the same time. America, obviously, are richly blessed. They have an abundance of riches in in the event. Nigeria, we have been lucky to have so much talent. And this goes on. So I'm not surprised that it's taking so long. This record too might take even quite longer, except the Botswanians, where we have Makwala retiring obviously very soon. So except the Botswanians have the factory training out these quarter milers, it's going to take some beating. But back in Nigeria, we are not taking it lightly. It was nice to see our record finally broken. It shows progress of the sport. But they would have loved it to be broken by a Nigerian team, and since it was not, some of us in terms of in administrative and coaching roles, we have a lot to say about that. We have to start preparing our teams. The Nigerian team have not been showing so well in the relays, and like it was rightly pointed out, this Botswana team, we are the first African team to be in the Olympic final in 18 years. The last time we were in the Olympic final was in 2004, and that was my team with a bronze winning team in Athens. So since the 2004 race, we had no African 4x400 meters team in an Olympic final. So we didn't have in China, we didn't have in London, we didn't have in Rio, and we're having here, and it's good that they came out with a medal. So it's something that we must talk about and see how we can start producing quality 400 runners and very good 4x4 relay runners. 4x4 relay runners are quite different. They have their mindset is different from the 400, and it's usually something that reflects on the results.
Nigeria has not been doing well in the 400 meters race. What should be done to check the trend in view of some international events that will take place in the coming years?
In the 400-meter races, Nigeria, especially the men, we haven't really been producing athletes. We haven't been doing well. Sometimes it's very easy for us to look for an applause and clap and blame the administrators. But the bottom line, it goes down to we coaches and the athletes. The athletes are not working hard enough. The coaches are not reading hard enough and applying whatever they have read. You see, there are changes in how races run, and changes in dynamics, changes in dynamism, changes in techniques, changes in ideas. And we must move with the tide. So I think the coaches need to improve and experiment more. And we must get athletes that not only are talented and hardworking, but people ready to go the extra mile. At the end, that's what is required. In my time, we had quality 400 runners. We had the world junior champion. We had the NCAA champion. We had the world indoor champion. So there were lots of talents to choose from. But now there's a dearth of talent, a dearth of top quality runners. And majority of it I will put down to hard work. So we really need to get back to working hard, the raw hard work.
That's Anefeok Udo-Obong, a member of Nigeria's gold medal-winning 4x400 meters men's relay team at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Anefeok Udo-Obong, a member of the Nigerian 4x400 meters gold-winning relay team from the Sydney Olympic Games. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We'll begin the wrap of this weekend's African sports action with the maiden edition of the Total Energies CAF Women Champions League, which gets underway in Egypt today. Matches will be played at two venues, the 30 June Stadium and the Cairo Military Academy Stadium, between the 5th and the 19th of November 2021. The 30 June Stadium in Cairo, Egypt, will see host Wadi Degla take on Mali's AS Mandé in the opening game. Wadi Degla are placed in Group A alongside AS Mandé from Mali, Malabo Kings of Equatorial Guinea, and Ghana's Hasaka's Ladies. Group B of the competition consists of Kenya's Vihiga Queens, Mamelodi Sundowns from South Africa, ASFAR of Morocco, and Rivers Angels from Nigeria. Hasaka's Ladies of Ghana will open their campaign on Friday against Malabo Kings. Coach Basigi will lead the Ghanaian ladies into the debut tournament.
I don't want to put pressure on the players. We also need a win as well. So we are doing all that we can to get the needed results. I have already prepared their minds psychologically for them to know that it is not about structure, it is not about height, but it is about the mental toughness of each player. So if you're mentally tough and be quick on the ball, and that will kill the game.
Mamelodi Sundowns ladies captain Zanile Nlapo and Karabo Makerobet are confident of a good outing in Egypt.
We're not playing only for ourselves or for the page, but we know that there are young girls who are looking up to us. So we know that when we go out there, we are also going to play for them. You know, we need to give them that thing, that to say that, you know, that you can also be one of the best stars at Mamelodi Sundowns. You know,
it's an honor to me because playing for Sundowns ladies has always been a dream. Because I remember once in my interview, I was 15. The question I got was, what's the team you want to play for? I didn't hesitate. The first thing I said was, I want to play for Sundowns ladies. And being in the team right now means a lot to me. And we're going to work hard and come back with the trophy.
Vihiga Queens of Kenya head coach Boniface Nyamunyamu believes Vihiga have enough depth in the squad.
We have had good preparation since we played last the Sekafa Interclubs in Kenya. We have been in camp for more than a month. So we believe that with the good preparations that we have had.
Ryram Zamora is a sports journalist based in Nigeria. I asked her what impact the CAF Women's Champions League will have on the future of women African football.
I'm excited that for the first time, women's football talent will have an international platform. That's what I think about it. And it's also in line with the fact that CAF's objectives of driving engagement is coming through, and they try their best to enhance the growth and development of women's football in Africa.
Staying with women's football, Nigeria Falconers coach Christopher Danjuma has invited 31 players to the camp of Nigeria's under-20 girls for the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup third round fixture against Congo, with the first leg taking place in Brazzaville on the 5th of December. Nigeria will host the return leg at the Mobalaji Johnson Arena in Lagos on Thursday, 16th of December. All 31 players have been asked to report at the Serap Hotel in the Wuye district of Abuja on Sunday, the 7th of November, with their training kits, international e-passports, and certificate of birth.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Staying with football news, Crystal Palace forward and Ivory Coast international Wilfred Zaha has requested to be excused for this month's 2022 World Cup qualifiers. Wilfred Zaha has scored 5 goals in 21 appearances for the Elephants since making his debut in 2017, having switched his international allegiance from England. Ivory Coast coach Patrice Bemieux explained that Zaha asked not to be called in for this month's 2022 World Cup qualifiers. The Ivory Coast are due to play World Cup qualifiers this month as they look to cement their place at Qatar 2022. They host Mozambique on November 13th before traveling to Cameroon 3 days later. In Ghana, former Blasters head coach Charles Akuno has dragged the Ghana Football Association to the Court of Arbitration for Sport for unlawfully terminating his contract, and is demanding $300,000 in total as compensation. The former Hearts of Oak and Kotoko gaffer got sacked as the Black Stars coach 2 months ago in what is described as poor performance after disappointing defeat against South Africa in Johannesburg in the qualifiers. The Ghana FA has offered to pay $50,000, but Charles Akuna insists he deserves $300,000 instead. Prosper Harrison Ado is the general secretary of the Ghana Football Association.
We wrote to the coach, and the lawyer wrote back to us. And currently, there's a meeting that we need to have. We are liaising with the ministry so that we have the meeting. I'm sure early next week we'll have the meeting. So I'm saying that everything in the contract, we don't have issues. The only issue is the departing.
Away from football news now, the Commonwealth Games Relay Baton has arrived in Uganda from Kenya. The Commonwealth Games Relay Baton will make its way through all Commonwealth countries until August of 2022, when it will reach Birmingham to signal the start of the Commonwealth Games. Uganda, the 9th recipient of the baton, whose 72-nation relay was launched by Queen Elizabeth early last month, will spend 3 days in the country. Donald Rukari is the chairman of the National Council of Sports in Uganda.
The baton is on its journey around the 72 Commonwealth countries. And for the next 3 days, we as Uganda are going to be hosting this baton as we get ready for the Commonwealth Games next year. So it's an opportunity for us to showcase the values of the Commonwealth and also bring attention to the games that will be taking part in August of next year.
And staying with the Commonwealth Games, successful athletes who represented Kenya at the World Athletics Under-20 Championship will form part of the Commonwealth 2022 team. Sports Cabinet Secretary Amina Mohammed said that the young athletes will not be neglected because the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham will offer Kenya an opportunity to showcase her sporting prowess.
We have taken over the Kenyan team that won the under-20. So now Team Kenya from the under-20 is going to be prepared to go and represent us at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham next year.
And also some marathon news. The 2021 New York City Marathon will be the 50th running of the annual marathon race held in New York City, United States, which is scheduled to take place on November the 7th, 2021. Top African marathoners are expected to dominate the race. Ethiopian long-distance runner Kenenisa Bekele, who was the world record holder in both the 5,000-meter and 10,000-meter from 2004 and 2005 until 2020, says his less-than-stellar result in Berlin was a result of something that has plagued him several times in his career, insomnia. But he's confident to improve on that performance in New York.
I prepared well, you know. Of course, I choose run New York. This is my second marathon in USA. I want to do more races. So for me, it's an important thing, you know, to run.
In the women's category, Olympic champion Peres Jepchirchir is a favorite to back the World Marathon Majors crown set to conclude this weekend with the New York race. Kenyan Jepchirchir, who is a two-time world half marathon champion, needs a win to tie Olympic silver medalist Bridget Kosgei and Jocelyn Jepkosgei, who are locked on 50 points.
I used to say one time I will compete in New York, and the time has reached. Even the course itself, course record itself, is still that the course is tough. I just used to watch my mentor, America Itani, winning the New York City Marathon. And me too, I say one time I want to compete in New York. And it's my pleasure and great run my first race here.
Another athlete to look out for is Kipwat Kandi, who is a Kenyan long-distance runner and half-marathon world record holder. And now to Ethiopia, where the Great Ethiopian 10-kilometer road race, which was due to take place on Sunday, 14th of November 2021, has been suspended. The suspension follows the state of emergency declared in Ethiopia. Organizers of the event said in a statement that they are monitoring the situation closely and will be back in touch in the coming weeks with more news about a new date for the race. And finally, in rugby, a record the South African national rugby team, the Springboks, have held since 2007 is set to be wiped from rugby's record books by the All Blacks in the remainder of their end-of-year tour of Europe. The All Blacks will have tests to play against Italy, Ireland and France and are within touching distance of a number of current records. If they score another 30 points on the tour, which they are likely to do in the first half alone against Italy on Saturday, they will break the record for most points in a calendar year. That record currently stands at 658, set by the Springboks in 2007 when they played 17 tests en route to their Rugby World Cup win.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley with another extra spicy package of African sports news.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder stormed back to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
The Thunder rallied from 19 down to beat the Lakers on the road 107-104. OKC outscored LA by 11 points in the fourth quarter to earn just their second win of the season, both coming against Los Angeles. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 28 points in the win.
We want to prove ourselves. And they're obviously a team that has a lot of guys that have done a lot of good things, and we just want to prove ourselves and compete. And wherever that takes us, it takes us, and it's taken us to two W's against them.
Anthony Davis had 29 points and 18 rebounds for the now 5-4 Lakers. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Lakers star LeBron James did not play in the game because of an abdominal strain, and LeBron could be sidelined up to a week. In more NBA action Thursday night, the Boston Celtics scored a big road victory over the Miami Heat, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
The Celtics played airtight defense for a second straight night on the way to a 95-78 stifling of the Heat. Jaylen Brown scored 17 points to lead six Boston players in double figures. The Celts swept the back-to-back in Orlando and Miami by giving up an average of 78.5 points on 33% shooting. Miami shot 35% overall, 9 for 41 from three-point range, and managed a total of 55 points in the final three quarters. Jimmy Butler scored 20 points for the Heat, who finished the game without Kyle Lowry because of a sprained left ankle in the third quarter. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. And three more NBA results Thursday night. The Philadelphia 76ers beat the host Detroit Pistons 109-98. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists for Philadelphia. The Utah Jazz clipped the wings of the host Atlanta Hawks 116-98. Utah is off to a very good start. The Jazz lead the NBA's Western Conference with 7 wins and 1 loss. And the Phoenix Suns defuse the visiting Houston Rockets 123-111. And that wraps up the November 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.